بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One person came for his Islam. The Sheikh asked him to do some things. And after a month or two, the Sheikh asked him, "What do you see? What do you see now?" So he says to the Sheikh, "It's something that I can't say. It's too serious." So he says, "You will not say of your own, you will say it because of my command." Very reluctantly, he says, "I see your face like the face of a swine." Anyway, saying something else, carry on. After 1-2 months, and he asked him, "Now, what do you see now?" He says, "Now I see your face like the face of a dog." Alright, carry on. Continued, "Now, like the face of a cat." Again continued, "And now I see it like a human being." Again, a few more days passed, "So now I see it. I see the radiance on your face. Your face is illuminated, it's so radiant, bright." So then the Sheikh explained to him that you had seen yourself in the first phase. This is what you had been, this was your state. Right. So a swine is a reflection of something, right? A dog is a reflection. A swine is a reflection. When you talk of a swine, then you talk of filthy habits, filthy ways, immoral, shameful. So when you see yourself, when you see a swine in the dream also, then this is more or less, this is what you are seeing. Something that is filthy, dirty, the income is not right. So this is how you would see it. So then you improved slowly, takes time. See, the change doesn't come instantly. And it is a blessing of Allah Ta'ala that the change doesn't come instantly. Because if the change comes instantly, then sometimes you can't endure. The human being has got a certain capacity. And suddenly you just changed him, then he can't endure it. Someone wants to race in the marathon, will they allow him one shot? First you have to practice 5 kilometers, then 10, then 20, then 50. Then they'll put him into an endurance race. He can manage this 50 kilometers. So slowly they will put him up. And then when he can manage it, then eventually, ultimately, they put him into the race. So your capacities, they grow slowly. One shot, one stroke, from one end to the next end, then you can't endure it, you can't manage it. The person you put him into the race, one shot, he didn't do any training, nothing. He may collapse on the road, he may get a heart attack. He may become depressed and despondent that I'll never manage. So slowly, from one to the other. And a lot of things in life, this is the tartib that you go on slowly, gradually. See, the child is born, then immediately you don't get him married. He grows, you teach him some things, basic concepts you teach him. Right? understands responsibility, understands how to stand on your feet, right? Then one thing after the other, you introduce to him. Alright, this is the age he's in, right? So in the age that he's in, say, under 10, so he needs some running around, playing, etc. So you allow him to play. Make some arrangements for his play, for his childhood. The childish features or childish characteristics can express themselves. But he wants to run, shout, play, chase someone, or get chased, right? He wants all that to happen. And nobody is offering him that, so he will feel down. He'll feel now, I bypassed my childhood. I didn't use my childhood, so he'll feel depressed. So that's the structure of the man, that he needs to go through that. He goes through that, he passes one, second, third, and eventually he now is at the age of marriage. See? But from the time that he was born, and straight away got him married, he can't manage it. He doesn't know what it is, doesn't know what responsibility. Then he may think to himself that marital life is not for me. He may get into a depression, etc. But slowly, slowly, you showed him responsibility, standing on your feet, what it is all about, what you're supposed to be doing. As a spouse, what you're supposed to be doing. All these things here. So one thing is being introduced, the second thing is being introduced, and eventually now he's settled, he's happy, he's comfortable. So the same at the Hanukkah also, so they will initiate you, gradually they will take you up. Just say, tell me some more. They do this and progress slowly, slowly. Sheikh knows you got a capacity. He knows your background, and he knows also that you are asking now, and you're asking in a state of josh. That in a state of josh, you do too much, and then you will not last after that. So he said, well, just do this, carry on. Take this, move on. So they will normally, first they will ask you to leave out haram. And nowadays, the haram that they will emphasize, two harams, and one is layani, right? The two harams that they ask you to look after is your eyes and your tongue. Eyes and your tongue. At any given time, you can look after your eyes and look after your tongue. In different times and different situations, then the trials may differ. You won't have the same trial at every moment. Now there may be a different trial, then there will be a different trial. The Sahaba Ikram also said, "Ubtulina, ubtulina bid-darrai, summubtulina bis-sarrai." But the first trial was difficulties, constraints, and constrictions. Financially, we were constrained. That was the first phase of trial. Then the second phase of trial was abundance. So you see now, first there was one type of a trial, then there was another period of trial. So in both these, Allah Pak is going to see how you behave. It was, I think, Mansur Abbasi, he was a Khalifa. So about the first Khalifa of the Abbasi dynasty. And they were having some problems with the previous Khalifas, perhaps for the Banu Umayyah. So he visited one saintly person of the time. And in the course of his discussion, the Buzurg read the ayat, Asa Rabbukum أَيُّهْلِكَ عَدُوَّكُمْ وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Shortly, Allah will destroy your enemy. The present rule is your enemy. You don't see them to be right. You don't see them to be straight. So, he will destroy them. وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ. And then you will be replaced. He's gone and he replaced you. You come to the driving seat then. So anyway, some months later, now that whole Banu Umayyah had ended. And when they ended, it was Banu Abbas that started off. So he came to congratulate him, say, you know, you made dua that time and you read the verse. أَيُّهْلِكَ عَدُوَّكُمْ وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ. That's what happened now. These people are out of the picture and we replace them. So Abu Sufyan reminded him, see, the verse doesn't end there. The verse continues, فَيَنْظُورَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Whether it is Banu Umayyah, whether it is Banu Abbas, but Allah wishes to see what's your conduct, what's your behavior. You're complaining about them, mismanagement or corruption, whatever you were complaining about them. So Allah Ta'ala wiped them out and He replaced you. But now that you took on the helm of the affairs, so Allah wants to see what's your conduct. He saw them and the behavior was not right. So He removed them and He replaced them with yourselves. But it doesn't end now. You must see now. You're going to see how's your behavior. You complained about them. Now that you're on the driving seat, are you the same or you worse? Or are you better? How are you? What's your take? They were alright. They were going off the course. They were going off the line. So people are complaining about them. And then Allah Pak removed them. So are you going to be the same or are you going to be worse? Or are you going to be better? What are you going to be like? So the halat are going to change, right? But in this halat, in these conditions, then Allah wants to see what's your behavior like. We had some Sahaba kiram like Muhammad ibn Maslama, Salama ibn Aqwa radiallahu anhu, or Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and you find them that they are in a foreline, in jihad, striving in the cause of Allah Ta'ala, right in the front line. Now, it's about 30 years into, 35, 40 years into Islam. Now they are not like active as they used to be before. So they were asked, just now a few years ago, you were very active, you were frontliners. Now you've taken the back seat, what happened? And they replied, see, when the challenge was against the kuffar, then we fought, took the nail, we were in the front line, and we did whatever. But now the challenge is not against the kuffar. Now the challenge is within. It's fitna within, right? And therefore, I think it was Sahal ibn Hunayf, he says, he says that whenever we are confronted with a problem, right, that we strapped our swords, our weapons, and we went. When we went, and things just eased out, planed out, worked out very well. But now when there is a problem within now we don't find that type of drive, that type of motivation, and that type of feeling that we had then. So it's an internal strife. It's within your ranks. But a thing that's internal. Internal, it's within the Muslims, right? That was thou, is the kuffar. So then you went straight. Right? Mind is open, mind is at ease. So there's nothing that is holding you back. Right? But now when there's a problem from within your ranks now, you know, it's a different game altogether. So how do you work it out now? In principle, you know, our allegiance is with Allah Ta'ala. Now, when you understand that, then you understand that the one that you are working with or fighting against is your own brother. Right? You may think that you're fighting on the right premise. And he is thinking the same. He's also thinking that he's fighting and he's working on the right premise. So you're thinking you are right, and he's thinking he's right. Now, who's right? So he's also, in his mind, he's working and striving for the right cause. In your mind, you are working for the right cause. there you knew that there isn't the possibility of him being right. He's a kafir, cut and dry, khalas. And he knows also that he's not in Islam. So you are fighting against an enemy with a clear mind. And the second picture is now, is you're not fighting with a clear mind. It's your brother, it can be your cousin, it can be your uncle from one side and you on the other side. And both are claiming to be Islam, in Islam. Now the struggle is going on. Now, how do we work this out? He's also saying that he's Muslim. He's also saying that he's striving for the right. He's also saying he's working for the haq. He's also saying that he's doing it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. You're saying the same things. Now, you see how complicated, how confusing, how difficult this thing becomes. You see, now this becomes very difficult. So now, this was one situation, and what you are supposed to be doing that in that situation. And this is another situation, and what you are supposed to be doing in that situation. What Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala didn't say, look at two things. One is Diyanat, and one is Fada'iyat. In whatever situation you are in, then the first thing you look at is Diyanat. So in simple words, when you say Diyanat, then keep Deen before you. No matter how complicated things seem to be, but keep Deen before you. And some things of Deen are clear, you can make out this is clear, right? And some things of Deen may not be so clear. Then don't pretend to be knowing it. Right? Don't pretend, don't make your own analysis. This is where a lot of people are wrong. That when it's something not clear, then they're using their own brains to come to conclusion. Right? Whereas we are told, لَا تَخْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ لِهِ عِلْمٍ, that you don't perceive a thing about which you're not clear. You're clear about it, absolutely clear, and you pursue it. But you're not clear about it, then you pursue. Don't run after it. Some years ago, there was about 2000 or 1999 somewhere. So there was an alim now, and he says, no, Imam Mahdi is coming this year now. He worked out some calculations and all that. He's coming. So he sold up all his things, he bought his tickets, confirmed everything, right? He did everything, all what he's supposed to be doing, right? Then he's got a following also doing the same thing. Right? Now comes the date, and he sees that, you know, what he predicted was not right. Now he should undo everything. He sold up things, he bought his tickets, he's got a following, they're doing the same things. Now, come 1999 or 2000, see, it didn't happen like how I predicted. Sorry, I made a mistake. Tawbah is too late, see. So, some things, the hadith is not too clear about. There is some mention, but the hadith doesn't say when this is going to take place. It may show you some signs, alright, this is the signs. But the hadith doesn't give clear indications that exactly it will happen on this year, in this year, or in this, that year. Right? Now, when this happened, so I noticed what was going on. And also I had seen that some senior ulama were getting influenced. See, this is happening, he's giving this talk, and crowds are running after him, and then some senior ulama are getting influenced. So, just then we found an article, and we had to publish it in the Al-Hajj, front cover. That you can't make a decision on these type of facts. See, for every science, there is a man, there is a person. Someone has got a sight, you have a vision, but the vision is to a certain point. Someone has got a vision, and the vision is far. So, by the grace of Allah, I had seen it. This is not what the hadith speaks about. There is some signs, there is similarities. But with the similarities, the hadith did not say exactly that this is happening on this date. So just because of a similarity, You just see it. So you create a confusion, right? The second problem is now, apart from the confusion, what happens to people, the trust they have in hadith, that's also lost. Because they say, oh, see, all the hadith was clear, we followed the hadith, and then it didn't work out. That's the take of the common person, right? So, the trust and the confidence that he had in the hadith will not be like what it's supposed to be, right? Won't he lose the trust? Now, that all happened because of his not reasoning rightly, not seeing things correctly. You know, so that's why I say, لَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِيَلْمِ. You don't run after something that you have no knowledge, not clear about it, don't confirm, don't chase, don't say, oh, this is going to happen like this, at this time, at this place, it's going to happen. Don't say this. But you will confuse yourself, you will confuse your people, and you will create a mistrust or distrust in the Quran and the Hadith. All you can say, right, there are some symptoms, but we can't say when this prediction is going to come, when this event is going to happen, we don't know. But there are some similarities, but we can't say anything. Further than that, we can't say anything. But it was like that for many centuries, when Muslims are cornered, you know, cornered, and there's some major catastrophes, major trials. So then people say, Imam Mahdi's time is imminent, it's coming now. So people did say these type of things before as well. And then centuries passed, nothing happened. Centuries passed, and nothing happened. So if you're seeing some similarities, all right, say I saw some similarity, but I can't say categorically, I can't say clearly that this event is going to take place on this year. I can't say it's going to take place that year, this year. I can't say there are some similarities. So the straight and forward thing is, those matters that are related to your belief, right, then you explain them. Don't give your two pence for it. So you'll say, right, that he speaks of what? Imam Mahdi. Right? Then the approximate time that he will appear, that's at least will be, right? And then the sequence of events that will follow, then about the fifth year after he's appeared, fourth to the fifth year, then will be the appearance of Dajjal, right? So he's already worked for what, 4 or 5 years, then comes in Dajjal, right? Then sequence of events, then about 8 years after he's already coming in, then you're getting Isa al-Islam, that is coming from the heavens, right? So I see it's all happening, this is the sequence that's happening. So you see it as it comes in hadith, that this is the sequence of the events with Imam Mahdi, then followed by Dajjal, and then Isa al-Islam is coming right at the tail end, and then he's smashing Dajjal out of the game. He's eliminated, he's wiped out. So now you're saying it like this, you're not giving dates, but because it is an article of faith, therefore you are explaining it, that this is part of our faith, that this will happen, and this will happen, right? So you will see it as it appears in the kitabs, without adding your 2 cents and 3 cents. So if people give their 3 cents and 5 cents, and they're confused. When they're confused, then you are confused of, hey, the hadith now, is the kalam on the hadith? Is it a doubtful hadith? Or you may say, some may just distrust the hadith, they lose the respect and the trust for the hadith. So that was not because you gave your 2 cents. Just give your aqaid, the beliefs, as they appear, straight, simple, that this is what's going to happen, right? So then you don't leave the people with any type of unclarity, right? Similarly then, what is happening, see, this is how it's the sequence. And then comes Isa al-Islam, then you talk about, for example, Isa al-Islam is ruling now, and he's in power, and the world has turned into Islam. Then Allah Ta'ala just announces that he's about to release a people that nobody will be able to take on, unformidable, right? It's a force that is unformidable, nobody will be able to take them on. So Isa al-Islam will take the Muslims to some refuge, mountain, etc. Wherever they can take a refuge, they will take a refuge. So we also understand that sometimes the enemy is such that you can't kill them all. We've got the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala here, and all are Muslims, but yet Allah baptized them, you won't be able to handle them, so you will take some asylum in a mountain or some people. So you understand also that when the Dajjal makes his appearance, right? Then the hadith says that keep a distance. فَلْيَنَعْ أَنْهُ right? Keep a distance from him. It's like now, you got this Ya'juj, Ma'juj. So this is to Isa alayhi salam that you will not be able to take them on, so take a refuge. Dajjal, hadith saying, فَلْيَنَعْ أَنْهُ keep a distance. So, we don't pretend to be so strong in our iman that we'll take on everything. It's pretension that the Prophet doesn't like. Because you are like that. We know that you are like that. You are weak. You will succumb. Just that you will succumb. You are so weak. Right now you got a job, for example, and the job says that you must be on duty now. And you can't go and perform your namaz with Jamaat. So you say, what can I do now? My job requires me to be on call and I can't go for namaz. But for a simple job, you can twist around, you can turn around, say, I'll do my job. So your iman is not so strong that you can take these things on. Had your iman be so strong, you'll be able to take it on. But the proof that your iman is not so strong is that now your job is clashing with the namaz time. And you're prepared to forego the namaz with Jamaat just to see that your job is secure. So your iman is not at that level. When your iman is not at that level, behave at your level. So the thing goes wrong where you try to behave more than what you are. I'm weak, understand, accept that I'm weak. Let me do what I can do. What you can do to preserve, then I must do that. It's not a few things what someone is asking, alright, what do we do? This question comes on, it comes quite often, right? What do we do? So as you see, Bukhari Sharif has got two solutions, right? One solution for a person who is very strong, he can endure all, everything, and anything he can endure, right? He's very strong. So no matter what comes, he will remain firm, his stability will not be affected, won't be shaken, he'll remain firm, right? When he loses his wealth, he loses everything, but the stability will not be lost. Right? So, one work is designated to him. Right? Now you hear the call of jihad, striving the path of Allah Ta'ala, go. But that is for that person who is at that level. Like I said, you got a marathon. In the marathon, everybody is not allowed. They won't, a novice now, he just started running from last week. You think they're going to put him into the marathon? He was to go in the heavyweight boxing, whereas he only trained yesterday. Yesterday he trained, and today he wants to go for heavyweight boxing in a league. Will they put him? They're not going to put him. He must go through the whole training. They'll see his endurance, his capability, how strong he is. Then they'll put him up gradually. They'll put him up. How good he's faring, right? But straight away they don't want to do it. So understand where you are. Now this person is very strong. Very strong. All the odds and all that he's taking it on. Right? He is being lured. See, normally the trials come up through wealth or through woman, right? These are two trials that came from Adam and Islam's time. And I think it will carry on right till the end. Two trials. One is wealth and one is woman, right? In some places in Afghanistan also, where they were defeated because of that wealth. Otherwise, they could take anybody on. But now they put on wealth. When they threw that wealth, they just succumbed. And they lost, see. So these trials will come. They'll come either in the form of wealth, they'll come in the form of woman. It's going to come.
So now, it's one person, he'll be very firm. Very firm. Come what may, and he is not just giving in. He's very strong. Musa alayhi salam's time, يا قوم ادخل الأرض المقدسة التي كتب الله لكم. When Allah Ta'ala had destroyed Fir'aun, then they commanded, now get into the blessed land, that is Sham, get there. So it's a long story, eventually they got in, right, to the blessed land. So while this whole struggle is carrying on, and they're getting to the blessed land, so they've been away from home for about 3-4 years, 5 years. Now that they're away from home for 3-4 years, the enemy is saying that this is their secret, that they got the abstinence. See, what we say, taqwa. They restrain. They restrain from women from ill-gotten wealth. Woman or ill-gotten wealth, they restrain. That's the power. See, taqwa is your power. Your strength and your energy is in taqwa. You got it, you move it. So therefore you'll find when Rasulullah is dispatching any jamaat, right? So he'll make a point of saying, alayka bi taqwa Allah. Alaykum bi taqwa Allah. There's hold to taqwa. See that you don't cross the lines. See that you don't displease Allah Ta'ala. Whichever way, just see that. Because that's your energy. And you lost that, then your energy will crack. So see that you don't, you hold to that, and you keep together. Right? Two things you find, it's common, right? Taqwa Allah and your unity. Your taqwa and your unity. So, these challenges will come, your taqwa will be tried again and again. Right? And there's going to be confrontations, right? So, you will have to maintain that unity at all times. You can't be divided, you can't break up. You have to see now, alright, how do I get the unity here? And see now, this person here, he's doing something else now. How to maintain the unity? So I have to hold on to taqwa, I have to hold on to إِذَا لَقِيْتُمْ فِيَةً فَثْبُتُوا إِمِنْ فَرْمُ وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. See all this about when you're out in the path of Allah, like in Jamaat, whatever, but how you draw the help of Allah, then you make zikr. وَلَا تَنَازَوْا. Don't dispute. Because when you have disputes, are internal disputes, فَتَفْشُوا. You will lose your spirit, your heart will be gone. وَصْبِرُوا. And under all circumstances, you must be firm. Remain, maintain your composure. Don't lose your composure. وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. I just mentioned in one word, taqwa. Just see that keep on to taqwa, number one, and keep united. Anything that will lead to a fight, to an argument, to misconstruing, to misunderstanding, maybe it's not a fight now, but it could lead to a fight. It's not a debate now, but it will lead to a debate. It's not a problem now, but it will lead to a problem. Right? So then you keep away from it. Now you know, they are dragging you into a debate, right? Dragging you into a fight. You want to give your 2 cents, then you will be also dragged in. Mother Marhum, Allah bless her, she will say, if there is a fight carrying on, right, there can be different situations. All the facts are not before you. There is going to be a possibility that some facts are not before you. Right. Maybe you got a lot of facts, but everything, you cannot say that you got all the facts. So if someone is going to be discussing with you, either you don't listen to it, and if he's pressing and he wants to mention it to you, then don't even nod your head. Because your nodding will be misconstrued as an approval, that you approve, you also approve. See? He wants to garner support. When he wants to garner support, he's talking to you. When he's talking to you and you're nodding your head, so what story he'll give? He'll give a story that, no, I spoke to Mufti Sahib and you also agreed. So either you don't listen to it at all, and if some circumstance that you can't move away, for example, you're traveling now in a plane and he's talking about the stories, then you can't move away, where are you going to move? it's a plane that is all full now, and he's giving the story. You can't keep him silent, and you can't be nodding at him also. Now, you don't even nod, don't even do that. Because he's looking for support. When he's looking for support, that will drag him. So the easiest thing, don't listen to it. Don't do something, do something else. Don't be there. So anything that will lead to a problem, to a fight, to a guna, it's leading to a fight, it's leading to a misunderstanding, it's leading to a confusion. I don't have all the facts before me. I'll be dragged before I know it, and I'll be drowning in the fight just now. I don't know what's the fact. See how nicely Luqman al Islam said it. He says that if someone comes and complains to you of a blue eye, someone busts my eye, so don't jump to his rescue and his support. Because it's possible that this person that's complaining, he must have busted his both eyes. So he's talking about his side, but the wrong that he perpetrated, he's not talking about that. And all the evidence is not by you. And all the evidence is not with you, then you're going to jump in there, then you'll put yourself into problem. Why? You don't need to put yourself into problem. Why don't you put yourself into problem? So you see now, you get one class where he's speaking about a person who's very stable, very firm, strong. Now that you get one in a million like that. Sometimes 10 million find one person like that. In the time of Imam Mahdi, so there will be one person who will challenge the Dajjal, right? And he will defeat the Dajjal, right? So it's one person. But from a crowd of millions, one person coming out to take him on. Now, why do you want to guess that I'm that person? Well, what we are doing is we're guessing, right? No, I'll be that person. That person that Allah Pak is going to choose, I'm talking about Bani Israel, right? Well, they are winning. They're winning now. So, the intelligence, you see where an intelligence, that intelligence will tell them what to do. So the intelligence is telling them, see, you're fighting against Musa alayhi salam, so you're fighting against the truth. You're fighting against a man of Allah Ta'ala. You can't beat him. You can't defeat him. Because he's standing for the truth and Allah Ta'ala is with him. When Allah Ta'ala is with him, you can't. Now, but if you want to delay the whole process, but you want to delay the help of Allah Ta'ala, then these are the two things, wealth and woman. So now the Bani Israel, they are out of home about 5 years, right? Right. And any person now, 5 years, 6 years, and you, without a wife now, right? And you're just leaving semi-naked woman, well clad, you know, semi-naked, too beautiful, too attractive, just leaving them in their midst, right? And they're so accessible, so easily accessible. What will happen? One person that is very pious and all that, he will abstain. But otherwise, it's very easy to fall prey to it. Right? It's like you're saying, you got a cat now, right? You told the cat now, well, fry up some fish for me. What's he going to do? Huh? Give it to the wrong person, you know that. So the man is away 6 years, 10 years is away, and then you just leaving it. Then like you throwing the mice to the kittens and saying the kittens are make supper. Can they make supper? They can't make supper. 10 years now they're away from miles of their eyes. And these women are accessible, pretty, beautiful, very fair complexion, they got the looks and all that. And they made them so easily available. See now, see, this is the ploy of Shaitan from that time, Adam Islam time, right to the end. This is what I'm applying. Wealth, woman. Wealth, woman. All is going to be shifting from one side to the other. Wealth, woman. Like I'm showing you, for a little bit, a few bobs, then if it's clashing with your iman, then you can prefer the bobs. Right? Aren't you? Now look at our situation. I'm sure how you're preferring. Right? Now look at the secular education, right? Secular education. So it's a proven fact that they're going to teach you values that are not Islamic. Not Islamic values, right? Different ways. Now I could, that this is a whole session it takes now to explain that they will remove your Islamic values through the process of education. So the name is education, but what would they do? They will make you bereft. They'll rob you of your Islamic values. Right. But I can show you, prove it to you very, it's very easy. Someone just see how it works, right? The day the child went to school, and the day he came out, and look at his values, his thinking, everything, he'll be robbed of his Islamic identity, his beliefs, his practice, everything will get affected. Right? Now, one side, you got the secular, right? And you know about the damages, you know about the harm. Then you got your deen, right? Now, how many of us are that strong, say, I'm not going to send the child there? Come what may, I'm not going to send the child. How many of us can do it? But I can see in the circular and what happens to the individual. I know about it. And on the one side is my iman and the child's iman. And one side is the damage here. And is my iman so strong that I can take this on? See? So if you are weak, say, admit that the least a mu'min can say or must say that I'm weak, I don't have the strength. Then work towards preserving yourself. Don't pretend. See, when you pretend, then you are doing something that you aren't. You are doing something that you aren't, right? That's a pretension. And you can cause problems for yourself. I mention this story quite often. The king's daughter, the princess, she was affected with some jadu, right? So they brought her to Imam Malik, Muhammad Malik. Imam Malik was busy at the time, so they take my shoe so that jinnah can tell it. So the jinnah stories always have a relapse. You know? So the shoe, I think, this escaped, right? After a few years, there was a relapse. So they brought again, came again to Imam Malik al-Muqtari. Imam Malik al-Muqtari was gone out for some work. So one student was there, said, all right, take my shoe. So the jinnah reprimanded the person, said, bye. This is the first time you're making sir, you don't repeat this. Otherwise, Shatika Dudya Dilaya. You will regret the day you were born. See? So you do things according to your capacity. You can't say you can't. I don't have that strength. So but you don't give up to do how much you can. Ma la yudraku kullu. La yudraku kullu. What you can't do perfect, you don't leave out altogether. Right, I can't do it the best. Let me try something. If you can't afford the braai or biryani, right, the day you want it, then you won't say, I will starve until I get it. No, all right, let me eat my dal, basoor, and mug and all that. That will keep me going. The day I got that, inshallah, I'll enjoy that also. But now I can't afford it. Then we apply the rule. All right, let me do what I can. So one is the person that is ultimate, so high. He can go out. And then is the person that can't manage. What does he do? He says, في شعب من الشعاب يتق الله ويدع الناس من شره. So what he does, he will keep away. He'll keep away, right? Stay a little bit of an isolated life. So he will see to that he observes taqwa. And number two is he will see to it also that he doesn't hurt anybody. So, now this is one person, this is another person. If you can't go into the first class for some reason, then don't say that I can't practice deen at all. To the level that you can practice, practice it. You know, I'm going to mix up, join up, right, and get involved in one thing or the other, right? One party or the other party. I'm going to get involved. So now, and then when I'm going to get mixed up in one party or the other party, then I'm going to spoil my hands. I'm going to mess up my deen. listen to one story here, read about this idea, you know, get involved here, get involved there. So I won't be able to handle it. When I won't be able to handle it, let me do what I can manage. So I just keep, just isolated myself, do how much I can manage, and then I will see to that I observe taqwa, but I don't hurt people as well. Observe taqwa, but I don't hurt people as well. So that's what I'm saying. In this way, what's going on is that without that sound knowledge, we are experimenting in deen. Some hadith you got here, some hadith you got there, and you're experimenting without the sound knowledge. And then after that, you got rigorous, and then you're beginning to doubt the hadith. The authenticity of the hadith is being doubted, not because, na'uzu billah, that the hadith is doubtful, but it's because of your poor reasoning. Your reasoning wasn't there. You went with it, you couldn't reason, you couldn't understand it, and then you are doubting the authenticity of the hadith. See? So, what we are talking about is coming on and being at it, but being at it and understanding that it takes time. You don't just get there straight, right? You'll come in, and you'll come in with time. You look at this great Bhagavad-Din, right? Then they staying, sometimes one staying with this sheikh for 20 years, 30 years. Now moving out. Now, yeah, how many years we gave? The month that we give also, and half the time we do something else, and half the time we go there, doing something else, half the time. And it doesn't have to be irreligious, but some other work. We're doing some other work, and half the time we're doing this. So can you see now what type of commitment we're giving? So when we're giving that commitment, then this process is going to be delayed. So accepting that it's going to be delayed is not because the sheikh is not giving. It's because your mind is split, divided here, a little bit here, right? So you don't want to get the food. See, imagine now that a child is going to his class, right? But he has to go to school also. And he has to do some tuition. And then, because he has to purchase a car, he has to do some business on the side, right? This whole, his class, will it go normal? Or is it going to be delayed? It's going to be delayed. No, except that it's going to be delayed. The delay is not because of the teachers not paying attention to you, but your mind and yourself, you are divided in so many other things. And we will not say that what your mind is divided into is haram. We will say it's haram. It's not haram. But your mind is in so many places, here, there, everywhere. Now, the whole process is going to be delayed. So accept that it's going to be delayed. Otherwise, you're going to go do it full on, head on, and do it full. So in that you need two things. One is you need that undivided attention. And second thing, you also need that capacity. See, it's not just that undivided attention, but do you have the capacity for it? Do you have the appetite for it? Yeah. So most cases, it happens that the attention is not like how it's supposed to be. And then you have also cases where the capacity is not like it is desired. See? Now, this is a topic on its own. Then what builds the capacity? You want an appetite, right? What builds the appetite? Child is not eating and he's losing shape, right? So what builds the appetite? So here again, that is in food, and the physical well-being, right? So you have in the spiritual well-being. So in the spiritual well-being, what builds the appetite? What builds the appetite? So they speak about three or four things. One is to be isolated. Now, if you hear this isolation story, someone is in Jamaat, but Jamaat sees ikhtilat, a big ikhtilat. Must mix up, right? So, see, for different works, there are different approaches, right? Studying the madrasa, right? And you know that there is istima, there is a jor, and there is gusht twice a week. They say gusht is the backbone of the work. Can you go to gusht? Can you go to gusht? Can you? Why? So the madrasa got a tartib, and the jamaat has got a tartib. In the sequence of the jamaat, this is the requirement. But the madrasa, now the curriculum of the madrasa, requires that you don't get yourself into these things. Although they say that it's an important thing, but now you won't be able to assimilate or reconcile the both. So if you came for one thing, I'll do this thing here. Because this is the appetite you've got. This is, your plate is full already. You can't manage anything more than that. But if you're going to try and jam too many things, then you'll get an indigestion, right? Or you may get a complication in the stomach, indigestion, and whatever other complications that you have. You'll have all that. So one is not to mix up. This one is to build this appetite. If it is someone who is in jamaat, then there can be a way that he can work it out, but he must keep in contact with al-buduq, the shaykh of it. I'm in jamaat, I'm going 40 days, 4 months. Now one is then, he will do his own thing, and one is now, right, I'm going out for this amount of time, and how should I manage my time so that my appetite spiritually just improves all the time. So if he's in contact, they will guide him, supervise him and guide him. If sometimes he requires supervision every 3-4 days, 5 days, he's keeping in contact. Yeah. And so that's one thing, that he doesn't meet up, isolated. Then the second is that he mustn't speak, you see. He mustn't speak unnecessarily. Where there's a need to speak, you'll speak. So you're isolated and not talking. Right? And then the third thing that is required then is you immerse your heart with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala as much as you can. Right? He will guide you how to make zikr. You won't just make zikr as you think. He will guide you, alright, this is how you start off. This is how you will build up. Right? Like you in a madrasa, you don't start off kitabs as you want. One child came here, maybe about 22 years of age. Past 5-6 years ago. So he came, you know. So straight away he went and started a Dora class. Finally, you know. Now, I can't tell him much also, because I can see he's coming from a modern background, right? And but I know that he doesn't fit there. Maybe he knows a little bit of Urdu, but that doesn't mean that he's fit to sit in the final year class. So I see him, what's happening now, after 2 weeks, then he comes to the fourth year. Jump from the final year to the fourth year. Then I see after about 2 months, then he came right, said, now he's sat in the Adadia. So he sees that where he started off from. Then he understands that, see, I belong to this, I must go to this class. But now that is because we all want to do our own thing. You know, I think this is right, I must do this. So it took him 6 months to find his place. The right thing was, لا تخفو ما ليس لك. Don't follow things, don't pursue things, don't go after things. But you're not clear about it. You're not clear about ask, find out, how must I go about doing it. And go on asking until you build up a familiarity. You build up compatibility, familiarity, right? You're familiar with the thing now. Now, then too, you will still maintain the supervision. Now you just do of your own randomly. How does it happen? You see, it's random, you know, random. Sometimes it can work. Not that it's not going to work. Sometimes it can work. The village now, they had one person, you know, in English they say, jack of all trades, actually. So he's a jack of all trades. So, one person climbed up a palm tree, Some of these palms are very high. Even coconut, sometimes it's about 15 meters. 15 meters about this, three stories. So high. Sometimes even higher than that, 20 meters. So he climbed up there, climbed up quite nicely, climbed up and did up. Now he doesn't know how to come down. So they call this jack of all trades. You know, now we have a problem here and we need to bring him down from that height, 20 meters. Yeah, like the ceiling height up there, I was bringing down. You know, I got the solution. Very proud and very confident of himself, I got the solution for this. Alright, what does he do? So get on the rope. Alright, threw it up to him and fastened it up tight. Right. Then he says, all those people that take your strength and pull. They pulled. And Bishara, that chap went, plus Malakul Maut came. So he has to give up a cover-up story. See, now this is where you're complicating, give a cover-up story. Say, see, you know, by the same formula, I saved hundreds of lives. It's taqdeer that he died. But the same process, I saved so many lives. You know, so many people they dropped in a well, 20, 30 meters. Same process, and I pulled him out. You see that? So this, you can't use your own brains. That's what we don't want to do today. Everybody, you know, it's piety, I must do my own thing. I can do my own thing. I'll find the way. So everybody thinks of that. So what happens then? What you could have achieved in one day, sometimes it'll take you 5 years to get it. Sometimes it will take you 5 years to get the same thing what you would have achieved in one day. But now, everybody thinks I'm smart, I can do it, it's about pious. So I also read some kitabs and whatever. So I can do it, so what? But now, the person is going, supervised, is relating, reporting, understanding. His mind opens out, his vision opens out. He knows there's a lot of things in life. So, all those things, he's presenting it fairly, squarely, correctly, and he's getting a guide, right? His mind is opening up, the confidence is growing, he's not feeling uneasy, right? He's not guessing and not freelancing. Right? All these things have become like the order of the day. We will complain about the Ghayr Muqallid or the Ahl Hadith, right? They don't have an imam, that they're freelancing. But I ask you, besides fiqh, are we also same? Ghayr Muqallid, we don't want to be pabandh. We don't want to be committed. Is there any difference? Right? In fiqh matters, alright, we took an imam. But apart from fiqh now, in our own lives, is the temperament similar, identical or not? So then we can't single them out, because we also are similar. You should see in India, you know, villagers, simple people, but they progressed so well. Their whole idea was, as a result, they will listen properly, they'll ask, they'll find out. Well, I know one villager should come for Zajiyamtari. So he'll come every week or something, he comes, right? But for the year, he'll spend about 40 days, right, in the Khanqa. But now, his wife will give him an uphill. You know, when he's coming here 40 days, his wife will give him an uphill. So this too, he's so fond and he's so well balanced, that yearly he'll give his wife about 100,000 just to keep her quiet and comfortable, alright. And go for the Khanqa, alright. When he's here, jaw. Just to maintain the calm, happiness. Alhamdulillah, then you saw, man is right, his whole house is right, children are all right, everybody's coming. But you see that affinity, coming, going, asking, finding out, doing it again, trying here, failing, coming right again. But there's a direction for the whole house. You know, this is how it happens. You keep in touch. Allah Bakhtu Fi Nasib.